Father, we lift that up this morning, that as the night holds on to us, that we can continue to always hold on to you, that you are faithful, that you are good, and that you always provide for us, that you always give us what we need when we need it, when you've discerned it in your sovereign will. And so we ask that as we continue through this morning, would your Holy Spirit just be with each and every one of us. Again, provide us with understanding, provide us with compassion, provide us with your love to one another here, to those outside of this place, and to the world. Would you just continue just to allow us just to glorify you in all that we do? Continue just to bring forth your word to those we encounter. And again, just continue just to encourage one another, to build one another up in fellowship, in brotherhood, in sisterhood. And again, just as a family, as we enter into this church. And so again, we just ask that your word here be upon me. Would you just allow me just to preach your word here? Allow it to just flow from you through your Holy Spirit into me, and just allow it just to outpour into these people. And again, let your word be what changes people, not the things that I say, the way that I say them, or anything that I do, but ultimately let it be your word that affects and changes and brings forth your Holy Spirit into this place, God. And so again, we just pray over this day. We thank you for just another reminder of this cold, of what we don't really experience here in Houston. And just remember that it is just another bestowing of your grace onto our lives, and just continue just to allow us to praise and worship you and glorify you in everything that we do. So we pray these things, we do these things, and offer them all up to you, and just give them all in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So, my first question to y'all here as we continue through our series, The Servant Savior, as we dive through the Gospel of Mark, is, have you ever heard of deja vu? Have you ever heard of deja vu? Right, I feel like I could make that joke a couple of times if I wanted to keep saying that over and over again. But for those of you who may not know, deja vu is kind of this experience that you have when you've done something or you've said something and it feels like you've done it before. You know, so maybe you're watching the news and you've heard about an article, you've heard about something that's happened in current events, and you go home and you talk about it at the dinner table. And again, this is something that happened this morning, but for some reason you get this feeling like we've had this conversation before, or like we've talked about this once sometime in the past. It just feels like it, even though it's not possible. It just happened this morning. Or maybe you're visiting a new place. Maybe you're in a new state or a new country and you're sightseeing and you enter it and it just feels like I've been here before. You know, it's this odd sensation that comes over you that feels like I've done this once before, but it's something brand new to you. And again, that would be what they call déjà vu. It's a French term, and its literal translation just says already seen is what it means. And according to an article by Stuff You Should Know, it actually says that about 70% of our population have had this experience in some way, shape, or another. And there's no real logical explanation for it. There's no scientific way that they're able to say this is how we experience deja vu. It's just something that kind of overtakes us. It's just some kind of sensation that we have. And the reason I talk about this, the reason why I bring up this idea of deja vu is because as I was looking through this particular passage, as I was studying over, again, we'll be in Mark chapter 8, but as I was looking through this, I kind of had this feeling of deja vu. And I would imagine that the 12 disciples would have had something similar to it as well, because we're going to be studying, in this case, the feeding of the 4,000. And again, I didn't stumble on my words here. That was the feeding of the 4,000, not the 5,000. The feeding of the 4,000 occurs in chapter 8, and the feeding of the 5,000 happens in chapter 6. So again, this is kind of the second time a very similar event takes place. But even though it's very similar in the miracle per se of what happens, we do see a lot of very different things that kind of take place, different details. And ultimately, the difference that we'll kind of see here as we dive into this are many different lessons that Jesus teaches us in this feeding of the 4,000 here. So what I'll go ahead and do is just kind of read through Mark chapter 8. This is going to be the first 10 verses, and then we'll kind of dive into a couple of things that I want to point out in particular. So this is, again, Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have had nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They say, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that they also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into a boat with his disciples, and they went to the district of Dalmanutha. So again, we have this story of the feeding of the 4,000. Again, maybe it's something you've heard before, maybe it's not. But again, as we dive into it, the first thing that I kind of want to point out is that we should be feeding on God's word. And looking at this story, in the first 3 verses here, we hear that, again, this crowd has gathered to hear Jesus teach, to hear what Jesus, to hear and see what Jesus is doing. And what I want to focus on in particular is in these first 3 verses, we hear that these people have been with Jesus for 3 whole days. That's 3 days' journeys that some, again, have traveled far from home. That's 3 days that people aren't going back home, and they're in this desolate area. Again, just imagine somewhere, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, however far away you have to travel from Houston to where you can't find anything. You can't find gas stations. You can't find a Buc-ee's. You can't find any kind of civilization. And it's to that point where you're wondering, should I have filled up my gas at the last gas station? Can I make it to the next one? That kind of desolation where you're just in the middle of nowhere. And that's where these people are. And Jesus says that he has compassion upon these people, that they've been with him for 3 days. And again, what's interesting to point out here is, again, in these 3 days, they've been so focused on Jesus. They've been so focused on what he's teaching to them. They've been so focused on many miracles that he's been doing. They're so focused on listening to what he's saying. They're feeding off of Jesus, and that's more important to them than feeding their physical bodies. And I think that's the example of the mentality that we should be aiming for when we hear about this story of this 4,000 people who gathered. And again, in a similar sense to the feeding of the 5,000, when we say this number, 4,000, 5,000, during these times, they really just counted men. And so in the feeding of the 5,000, they say that number can go anywhere from 16 to 25,000. And so similarly with the feeding of this 4,000, that can range anywhere from 12 to even 20,000. So you have this massive amount of people following Jesus, so focused on what it is that he's doing, he's teaching, he's healing, his miracles, and everything that makes Jesus Jesus, that this group of, let's even say the loci, 12,000 people are so concerned with Jesus that they forget about food, that they're so focused on feeding off of what Jesus is giving them that they don't feed their physical bodies. And how often do we do that? How often are our minds so focused on feeding off God, feeding off of what Jesus gives us, that we forego many things around us? I'll admit that it's hard, right? I struggle with trying to keep my focus always on Christ, always on what God is trying to do in my life. Because just like some of you guys, we have many things that pull our attention in different directions. Whether that be work, whether that be school, whether that be baby showers, whether that be weddings, bills, all kinds of things. Everything that goes on in our life pulls our attention away from Christ. So the question kind of arises is, how do we keep our attention on Christ? How do we keep our focus on what it is that Jesus is doing in our lives? Now, this may kind of go out on a limb for some of y'all. Maybe this is a little too type A-ish for some of you guys. But what I encourage you to do is actually schedule an appointment with God. And you do this daily. You do this every single day. You schedule an appointment with God. Again, maybe this is early in the morning, before you get started with your day, before you get ready for work, before you get ready for school, you schedule 30 minutes ahead of time. Maybe this is right after lunch, right before you go back into work, right before you go back to school. Maybe this is, again, when you get home from work, when you get home from school, you schedule just a 30-minute, a 1-hour block, whatever you feel comfortable with, you find a block that you can consistently take to make this appointment with God. And during this appointment, you should be reading scripture, you should be praying, you should be journaling, you should be doing a Bible devotion, you should be singing a praise and worship song, whatever helps you remind yourself that this day that's been given to you, this moment that's been given to you, this appointment that you have with God is given to you through the grace of God himself. And what's probably most important, aside from making this appointment and trying to take the time out to do these things, what's probably most important is that you never break this appointment. Again, you don't take this excuse of, well, if I skip this appointment today, I can get an extra 30 minutes of sleep. Or I have a test coming up next period, so I'll skip over my lunch appointment and I'll just kind of spend that extra 1 hour just focusing on studying and so forth. When you make this appointment, you keep this appointment. Because this is an appointment with God the Father who created everything. This is an appointment that you've set with Jesus, the Son who sacrificed himself on the cross that our sins could be forgiven. This is an appointment with the Holy Spirit who's here to help you and to guide you and to give you what you need when you need it. So this is not an appointment you should take lightly. This is not an appointment that you neglect. This is not an appointment that you cancel on a whim. This is an appointment that you keep every single day. And the second thing that I think we learn from this is that Jesus came here for everyone. Again, I think this is one of the major reasons why this particular story is actually in here, why there's a feeding of the 5,000 and why you hear a second similar story of the feeding of the 4,000. When you look at this passage, again, when you just kind of hear the disciples, when Jesus says, hey, give them food, and their question back to Jesus is, how can we provide bread to all these people? And when I first read through this, my first thought was like, how could these people forget? Like, again, for us, it's two chapters back. But again, it wasn't that long ago. And honestly, even if this was like, let's say hypothetically, like 10 years apart, you don't forget a miracle of like 5,000 people. Again, 15, 20,000, whatever that real number was. You don't forget something like that. No, you don't forget how bread was broken over and over and over and over and over and over and over again to feed such a large multitude. That's not something you just skip over. And so I had to kind of look into it. Why are the disciples asking this question? Why are they asking Jesus, how do we feed these people? Because they know the answer is Jesus. But when you dive into it a little bit and you look into the context of what's being taught here, when you're looking at the feeding of the 5,000 in that area that they were in, that was predominantly a Jewish area. That was people who looked like the disciples. These were people who acted like the Christians or who acted like Jesus and the disciples around them. These were people who were friends of friends or family friends or just strangers, whatever it may be. But they were people similar to who the disciples were. But when we enter into the story of the feeding of the 4,000, this is predominantly a Gentile area. Again, this would be people who aren't like the disciples. They will be people who weren't called by God, who weren't isolated and separated as God's people. These would be us, essentially. We would be Gentile people. We were not God's chosen people from the very beginning. And so when the disciples are asking this question, how do we feed these people? What they're really asking, and I'll put the emphasis here, is how do we feed these people? Like, how are you going to do something different? Because our Jewish friends, you fed them through a miracle. How are you going to feed these people who are different than us? How are you going to feed these people who would be socially unacceptable? Again, if you remember the story of the Samaritan woman, again, there was a reason Jesus had to go through Samaria. There was a reason why he had to go and interact with this woman. It's the same idea. This would be something that people would avoid. This would be a group that people would not associate with as Jews and as people, again, quote unquote, chosen by God. But when Jesus goes to them and he shows that he has the same compassion for these Gentile people as he does for the Jewish people, the point that Jesus is making here is that he came to save all of us. He came for them, he came for you, he came for me. Jesus was here for everyone. And I think the way that we take that, I think what we do with that information is that we recognize that when Jesus is within us, when you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, your job is now to bring Jesus to everyone. And when I say everyone, I really do mean everyone, whether that be somebody who knows who Jesus is or whether that be somebody who doesn't know who Jesus is. Because again, Jesus fed the 5,000 who were Jews and he fed the 4,000 who were Gentiles. He brought miracles to both. And your job is to bring Jesus to everyone. For those who don't know Christ, again, this is an opportunity for you to share what it is that God has done in your life, how he's changed you, and how he's given you a hope beyond all hope. And hopefully in that explanation, in this detailing of your message, they would catch on and they would be interested and they'd want to know, how do I gain this hope that you have as well? And for those who do know Christ, I don't know about you guys, but there have been days where I'm just down on my luck in a sense. I'm not feeling all that I want to be up to. But an encouragement from a brother or sister in Christ just lifts me up. An encouragement from my wife, she'll say something to me and just, wow, I was so proud of how you did something there. And it just changes my perspective. It changes my mentality. It changes how I'm thinking. So whether you're speaking to a Gentile, whether you're speaking to somebody who doesn't know who Christ is, that's an opportunity for you to share who Jesus is with them. And if you're speaking to somebody who does know who Jesus is, this is an opportunity for you to encourage them or be encouraged by them. So again, I think the focus of what Jesus is showing us here is he came for everyone. There was no one single person that he came to save. He came to save all of us. And I think the last thing I want to kind of go over here in this passage is that Jesus always gives you more. So kind of finishing up the story here. So again, Jesus has said, I have compassion on these people, that we should feed this multitude. And the disciples are like, well, how do we do this? And so Jesus asked them, what bread do you have? And they say, we have 7 loaves of bread. And so he takes these 7 loaves, he gives thanks to God for them, he breaks them, and he divides them amongst the entire multitude. I always kind of wonder how that looked like. Like, how does breaking bread and breaking 7 loaves to feed, again, 12,000 people, what would that have looked like? Does he just keep handing out bread over and over and it just keeps appearing? I don't know. It's just kind of where my brain kind of goes. But so he breaks this bread and he feeds it to the multitude. And then again, he gets fish from one of the disciples. They have a few fish and he does the same thing. He breaks these fish into thousands, probably millions of pieces for all we know. And he feeds, again, this multitude. And again, it says that everyone ate and was satisfied. And when they were finished, they had 7 baskets full left over. And so when I say that Jesus always gives you more, perhaps your first thought is, I'm referring to these 7 baskets full that we have left over. And while yes, it's true that he did have 7 baskets full, the point that I want to make here goes so much deeper than just that one time, than just this one time of 7 baskets full. Again, I've alluded a lot of times to this previous feeding of the 5,000 of back in chapter 6 in this case. And again, for those who know the story, when Jesus fed the 5,000 there, he had baskets left over as well. There were 12 baskets in this case left over. But what's interesting to look at is when you look at the wording here, when you look at the types of baskets, they're very different. The baskets in the 5,000, again, in the Greek, it would have been, I lost track of where I wrote it here. The Greek in this would have been koiphanoi. And again, this is kind of like a personal basket that you would carry. For us, it might be something like a grocery bag. It's something that you could probably find around and something you would just carry with you wherever you kind of go. And it'd be something easy to kind of carry a couple of like personal items. That was the type of basket. They had 12 of those baskets left over after the feeding of the 5,000. But here in the feeding of the 4,000, the word used here is spyridas. And this is a much bigger basket. In fact, in Acts, there's a moment where Paul is lowered to the ground in a basket, in a spyridos. So this is a basket big enough to fit a fully grown man. So again, think like a 65-gallon trash bag, right? So we're talking 12 grocery bags versus 7 man-sized bags. Imagine, again, putting a bag over me or a basket that I could fit into. And that's how big of a basket that they have left over. 7 baskets filled of people my size. That's how much that they had left over after the feeding of this 4,000 here. So again, not only did Jesus give them leftovers in the feeding of the 5,000, but he gave them even more leftovers here in the feeding of the 4,000. He's somebody who consistently and constantly delivers over and over and over again. And every time he delivers to you, he delivers you more and more and more. And honestly, in hearing this, that Jesus delivers again and always delivers more, it's so encouraging, I feel like, and especially in our time and our day and age right now. That again, we have a compassionate God to know that he is here and that he will produce bread out of nothing. Again, 7 loaves are enough to feed 4,000. He will produce bread out of nothing. That he will produce more fish out of nothing. That he, in whatever your need is, can produce what you need to fulfill it. That in his sovereign will, he will give you what you need. That this is the God that we have. That this is the God that we worship. And again, you hear it through all the Gospels all the time. That what matters most isn't necessarily what you need, but the faith that you have in him. Again, you hear it in the woman who touched Jesus' robe. He tells her that it's your faith that's made you well. There's the blind man on the side of the road just yelling out to Jesus, and people are trying to hush him. And Christ says that your faith has made you see. There's the 10 lepers who, again, are people who are sick and aren't allowed to interact with others. They're yelling to Jesus, and he calls to them and says, your faith has made you well. The centurion whose daughter was sick and dying, without seeing the daughter, Jesus says, because you have believed, it is done. It's the faith that we have that makes these miracles happen. So where is your faith? How much faith do you bring to Christ? Would you be confident to bring 7 loaves? Would you be confident to bring what little we have to Christ and to see what he does with it? Because again, with 7 loaves, he fed 4,000 people. With 5 loaves, he fed 5,000 people. With what little we think we may have, we don't know what Christ will do with it. We don't know what God will do with it. And so it's through our faith that we have to believe in what Christ can do through us, with us, and what little we have, we give it to God. And so as we kind of close here, we look and summarize kind of what we've gone through so far. We look at this multitude and we see that they were hungry, that they craved Christ more than they craved food. And then we look and we can see that Jesus came for everyone, that there were Jews and there were Gentiles and there were people of all races and colors and ethnicities and so forth. And he came for all of them, just like he comes for all of us today. And then finally, again, that we can see that Jesus always gives us more, that whenever there's a need, there will be some way that he will meet what it is that you need. In his sovereign will, he will provide for you what he deems is right for you. And so I kind of wonder, how are you hearing this today? Are you hearing this for the first time? If Jesus is working in your heart, moving you towards him, I pray now that you kind of accept that call, that you accept what Jesus is doing in your heart, and that you kind of come to know who it is that he is. And we'd love to spend some time just pouring into you and explaining who it is this person is and what he's doing in your heart now. And if you've already heard who Christ is, if you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, are you just playing this off as something you've heard before? Are you playing everything that we're saying now as deja vu? And I hope that this message, not necessarily what I'm saying now, but this message of who Christ is, never feels like deja vu for you. That it never feels like something that you've already seen or something that you've already heard. That every time that you hear about this Son, this God who sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins, for us, who should really ultimately be given the eternal punishment of hell, the God who loved all of us so much that he sent his Son to die on a cross just like this, that every time you hear something like that, that that excites you, that that moves you to do something more for what his kingdom has done, where his kingdom is going. So I hope that this excites you, that again, that this message of who Christ is, this message of what Christ has done for you, what God has done for you, who by sending his Son, again, saves you, that this message never feels like something that you've already seen, never feels like something that you've already experienced, that every time you hear it, that it's something that brings for you excitement, that brings for you good news. And I hope that you keep this at the center of your heart, because news like this has the power to feed 4,000. News like this has the power to feed 5,000. News like this has the power to do whatever it is that God has inspired for your life to do. And again, he's called us to great things. He's called us to do amazing things. And it's your faith, and it's your trust, and it's your belief, and your excitement about this message that God has for you that moves forward his actions in your life. And so again, I pray that over each and every one of you here, and I hope that for each and every one of you here, that again, this message never gets old, that this excitement never goes away for what it is that Christ is doing in each and every one of our lives. So let me pray for us here. Father, I thank you for just continuing just to be the good news that we have. I thank you for just continuing to always be the one who saves us, that no matter what it is that we're doing, no matter how it is that we're struggling, we know that you and your sovereign will have a plan for us, and that you have something that will meet us where we're at. And so, Father, again, I just pray over the people here, that if they're hearing you for the first time, would you continue just to work in their hearts and just bring them to you? And again, I just pray that, again, that your message never gets old, that your message never feels like something that we've already heard and moved past, that, again, your message continues to excite us and continues to move us to find new ways to glorify you, to find new ways to share your kingdom with those around us. And so, Father, I pray that you just continue just to work within each and every one of us, that you continue to be who you are, that you continue to remind us of your grace, of your sovereignty, and that you allow us just to continue to praise you each and every day of our lives. And we definitely look forward to your return, where we see your promises fulfilled, where you see your prophecies fulfilled, and that we can look forward to being reunited with you for all eternity. So again, God, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, we do these things, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.